Blog Talk Radio.
Cheek to Cheek. I'm your host, Minister Tamika Dela Cruz. Tonight we will discuss, is there a difference in grief if your child dies from natural causes, terminal illness, suicide, or drug overdose? Moving forward after the death of the child. First and foremost, I did want to say something about 9/11. September 11th attacks were a series of four coordinated terrorist attacks by the Islamic terrorist group Al-Qaeda against the United States on the morning of Tuesday, September 11th. I mention this because it was a devastating day, and at the same time, there were eight children that lost their lives that day. So when I got ready to do the show tonight, that it kind of broke my heart to think it was already sad that many people had lost their lives, and then to realize that children were included in that as well. So we're praying for those families, the survivors, and those children that were born after their parents have passed away. So let's just remember to keep those families in our prayer. Okay, moving forward. Moving forward after the death of a child. For those of you who may be tuning in for the first time, I'm Minister Tamika Dela Cruz. My daughter was shot and killed on November 3rd, 2017. And God placed this platform for me to be able to have this opportunity to do this show every week. After this, we're going to be doing it twice a week. I'll be make sure to give you more details about that. But he gave me this platform to be able to help other parents that have lost their children and even those that have lost loved ones, as well as help myself. So the death of a child is one of the most difficult and traumatic events that a parent can encounter, one that will shape emotional experiences over the lifespan. Parents will encounter a wide range of emotions that will, in most cases, fundamentally change who they are. They will experience not only intense grief, but also regret, remorse, and guilt about not being able to protect their child. I want to focus on the part when I just said it changes who we are. I commonly say, I'm not who I was November 4th. I'm learning to be a new person. I'm learning to live a new life without my daughter. I guess I didn't say that she was 28. I'm learning how to live without my daughter, who I gave birth to and have for 28 years. It is, sometimes I feel the regret. Sometimes I feel remorse. Sometimes I feel like, I feel the guilt, like, sure, I should have told her not to go out. I should have told her to stay home. And those things are perfectly normal. And I want to say to the friends of the families, of parents or mothers who are going through this, you know, be patient with them. The emotions experienced by parents with regard to the loss of a child are due in large part to individual and social beliefs about parenting and the role of the parents. The death of a child, it erases what many parents view as a fundamental certainty. They will outlive their children. Although there are no certainties in life, the assumption that a parent will outlive our children is one that is clearly taken for granted. Further, because a parent identity is, you know, we identify our children, you know, they're our children, they're a part of us, we know them. Excuse me, I have a little asthma problem this evening, so you may hear me keep clearing my throat. Jesus, be a sense. You know, we don't want to outlive our kids. We don't want to bury our children. And I'm going to get right to the point. You know, my daughter was murdered. She was shot and killed. But it doesn't sound right, but we do have some children who have died of natural causes, you know, died in their sleep for whatever reason, terminal illness, suicide, or drug overdose. I took the time to look at these, 1, 2, 3, 4 different things. And I said, wow, how would it, you know, natural causes, it's still unknown, you know, what could I have done to prevent the natural cause from happening? Terminal illness. For me as a parent, I thought maybe, you know, if you notice your child has a terminal illness, do you get, you know, it's like given an opportunity to say bye, to have memories, to make sure that you create memories, and, you know, be able to still talk with that person, opposed to someone being murdered who's just taken, and you feel like you don't get to say goodbye. You don't get to say anything. They don't get to say anything to you, the things that you may want to hear. Losing a child to suicide, I would think that's even harder, because I think as a parent, if my child had committed suicide, I guess it would beat me up. Like, what could I have done to prevent that from happening? What could I have done to pour love into my child, or whatever child, so they wouldn't do something like that? Or drug overdose. You know, how do a parent accept that their child, you know, do drugs. And then, you know, I think as a parent, we would be hurt and devastated knowing that our child is on drugs, but then to realize that their life is lost because of a drug overdose. You know, are those griefs different? As parents, what do we grieve different? Or is it basically the same outcome that our child isn't here? You know, how do we move forward from, you know, from losing a child to drug overdose, from losing a child to terminal illness, losing a child to natural causes, losing a child to suicide, or losing a child to murder, or just like the September 11th, losing a child to a terrorist attack? How do we move forward? There are, you know, no specific guidelines. You know, grief can go anywhere, probably from a year to a lifetime, 10 years, 5 years. Everyone grieves differently. And I was reading tonight where it was talking about grief and how some parents want to be just left alone. And then you have some parents that want to be surrounded by a lot of people. And I said, wow, that's something, because at times I have felt like that I was abandoned after my daughter passed away. And then there are times where I felt like, you know, I need everybody to smother me. You know, once we're still at how do we move forward? How do you do the first year? How do you do the first birthday? How do you move forward from the first birthday, the first Christmas, the first Thanksgiving, or, you know, whatever your family celebrates? How do you move forward? How do we get to the next step? I don't have the answer to that. But I will say, for me and moving forward from November 4th, 2017, it has been a daily struggle, praying, listening to God, having a great support group, recognizing when we feel like we're about to get to the deep end. And I know some of us say, oh, no, I don't realize when I'm in the deep end. I'm just there. We know when we start being withdrawn from people. We know when we're just stuck. If you're just stuck on the couch, stuck in the bed. We realize when we don't eat. And when we don't do these things start to, when we don't eat, you know, drink enough water, healthy foods or whatever medications we need to take, that's how the grief starts to break our bodies down. And when it breaks our bodies down, then it affects us physically. Because mentally, this is already taxing for us to have to endure, to even have to fathom, I have to funeralize my child. My child is not here anymore. For me, I will never get to see a wedding day. I will never get to see the type of mother that she would be to her daughter, when she becomes a teenager. You know, these are the things that I think as grieving parents, I think these are things that we often sit and we go through, or we may go through. You don't want to forget the memory, so you're fighting hard to try to remember everything, and that prevents us from moving forward. Instead of just letting God, you know, do what he has to do with us, the memory's going to come, the dreams are going to come. We can't forget someone that we have given birth to. We can't forget someone that we have raised. We can't forget someone that we have grown to love and to teach them things. You know, I September 11th, when I woke up this morning and I seen the news talking about it, I remember September 11th, 2001, waking up at 6-something in the morning, seeing this on the news and thinking, is this a movie? And the routine was to get up, get my two kids up for school at that time. You know, today I vividly remember dropping her off at school, calling her all day, because she had a phone, making sure she was okay, making sure that safety precautions were put in school. You know, September 11, 2001, I remembered that vividly today. Does that hinder us from moving forward? No. Moving forward is being able to take everything in and put it in place as we need to put it in place to be able to move forward. To be able, when we go up a step, it's 1 foot, next foot, then we're moving forward from this. We have to learn what's important for us, to get up that the next morning. You know, it's important when you get up in the morning, make sure you eat, make sure you do your personal hygiene. You know, I say a lot of times when I'm on the show, I'm on a grieving group on Facebook, and I sometimes see a lot of the things that the mothers post. You know, some mothers post how they have posted a picture of themselves before their child died, and then they post a picture now after their child has died, and they'll say, well, you know, they stop bathing and grooming themselves, they stop eating, and just give up on life. And I am here to tell you that our loved ones, our children, don't want us to give up. They want us to fight. They want us to still be productive people. We still need to be parents to the other children we have. We need to be the role models for those who don't have parents. There's still a purpose in our life for us to continue, you know, to share their memory. And I know we often wonder, you know, I know I get upset sometimes. I think people forget her. Their life goes on. They some of her friends, they still party, they still hang out, they still do everything. And sometimes I'm like, wow, it seemed like she never existed with them. But I can't get in that mindset, because I have to remember life doesn't stop because our loved ones die. Life keeps going. We still have to pay our bills. We still have to pay our utilities. At one point, eventually, we also have to go back to work. We still have to be parents to our surviving children. We still have to be grandparents to our grandchildren. We still have to move forward, as hard as it may be. And trust me, I understand how hard it is sometimes to even smile, to even laugh, to feel guilty about laughing, to feel guilty about being happy, to feel guilty about moving forward. But we cannot turn back time. We cannot go back to the day. And I know a lot of us, we all remember the day. We remember exactly how everything went. Sometimes we can't get that out of our mind. My daughter was shot by the time I got to the hospital. When they gave me the opportunity to go and see her, I chose not to. I wanted to remember the beautiful young lady she was. I wanted to remember the smile I seen when she walked out the house. Some of us have seen those, you know, seen them in a horrific way, and we can't get those images out. So it is things that appear to be that it's hard for us to move forward. But I'm here to tell you today, with the love of God, He can move mountains. He can mend our broken hearts. He can fill us back up with the love. He can't replace the love we have for our children or our loved ones, but He can fill us up with a joy and love that I don't even have the words to say how He can fill us up. Because, you know, when we grieve and we go through the mourning process, you know, the expressions, the experiences of grief, the change in our external, you know, living arrangements, our relationships, our circumstances, because I say this all the time. I feel that nobody knows what I'm going through. I feel like even her father don't know what I'm going through, because I carried my child. So I feel like, I guess it's a selfish love in a sense. You know, I feel like she's mine. I don't want anybody to drop a tear for her. I don't want anybody to mourn her. Like, how dare you be sad that she is? I'm the only person that can be sad, but that will stop us from moving forward. You're going to hear me say moving forward so much tonight, because I want to plant a seed in anyone that's listening tonight that has lost someone that is close to them, who heart is broken from losing their child. It may be your only child. You may have lost two or all of your children. I want you to know that you can move forward today, September 11, 2018. You can move forward. I know it seems impossible. I know it seems like it cannot happen. I know you're probably saying, but you don't understand my circumstance. I don't have to understand it, but God understands your circumstance, and God will give you the strength to do what it is that you have to do. Maybe your child was murdered. Maybe you still have to fight for them. Maybe this is God in for us to move forward. Maybe it's us going into the grieving parents, going into the communities to help children who don't have their parents, to help children who are maybe lacking love, or maybe they have parents that work so much they're not even there with them. I think for me, it's losing my daughter has taken me in a place to what can I do to help the next person? When someone see me, what do I want them to see in me? What do I want them to see about me? What do I want them to walk away from when I talk to someone? I want someone to walk away and say, I can be happy. I can be strong. I can get through this. I can move forward. I can receive what God has for me to receive. If someone has died, maybe one of our children has had cancer or something, or some type of sickle cell or illness, maybe some of those parents can volunteer with other kids that are going through it, because you understand what they're going through. For some that are murdered, maybe we can help other parents that are just walking into this nightmare, because we understand what they're going through their first week, their first month, their first day. Maybe we can help other children or people who's contemplating suicide. Maybe we can recognize the signs that maybe we didn't find in our own children, and maybe we can volunteer and help other at-risk youth that may be thinking about them. Maybe we can volunteer at a drug program to help young people who are, you know, on drugs. It's so many ways to move forward. And I know you're thinking, it didn't help my child. It didn't keep my child here. You may be thinking that, but it may keep another child here. If this show, anyone is listening, and they know of anyone that has lost their children, if this can reach at least just one person, to let them know it will be okay. It may look bad. It may look dim and dark, but it will be okay. We will get through this, and we will get through this by supporting one another, by loving on one another, by praying for one another. Glory to God. And it's important to be there for the parents that have, to be there for them, because there are so many things that go through our minds. We don't know which way we're going. We don't know what to do. We just know that we're here. And there's no way to get out of this. You know, maybe someone is suffering from anxiety. Maybe let's help them. Let's just love on each other and help one another so we can move forward to the next level. I want to take this time. I know I've been talking. I want to take this time to see if we have anyone out there that have any comments, any suggestions, any prayers, or would like to say anything at this time. You can dial 1 on your dial pad. You'll be keyed in. If there's anyone that's listening that would like to have a comment at this time, you can dial 1 on your keypad.
We have no comments at this time.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Back to moving forward. It feels good when you guys have a comment or ask a question, so I can know that I am hitting the points that you find that are important. I can only speak from my experience on losing my daughter. But also I wanted to kind of talk a little bit about the impact of the loss on siblings. You know, the death of a child may be one of the most difficult and profound experiences, but surviving siblings and other family members, as well as parents, in the case of an illness such as a childhood cancer, the death may be preceded by months or years of stressful treatments in which family attention and resources were focused on an ill child. And then we neglect the child that is healthy because we're so focused on, you know, the child that was ill, and then that's the sibling that's healthy may feel like, oh, they don't love me. They don't care about me. It's important because it's very important to pay attention to the surviving children, to the siblings, to talk to them, to help them move forward, to understand what they're going through, to give them the opportunity to express themselves on how they feel about the loss of their brother or sister. You know, you want to make sure that siblings are not carrying the burden of feeling guilty what has happened to them or wishing it was them instead of, you know, the sibling that has passed. I guess I haven't said this, but in being able to move forward from this, I think it is imperative to seek grief counseling, to be able to talk to someone, to be able to express yourself, to help you cope and to give you the tools and resources to be able, you know, to move forward. I've been seeing a grief therapist, and it has been extraordinary. I guess that's why I'm able to do the show like I do. I'm able to talk about this. I'm able to express myself because, you know, some people, you know, some family members will make you feel guilty about talking about, they make me feel guilty about talking about my daughter. You know, they make me feel guilty like I'm not supposed to, you know, talk about it so much because it's going to make me down. I talk about her because she was here. She was alive. She was part of me. I was part of her. So I probably will always talk about her. And I believe it's okay to do that. I think it's okay to tell funny stories about our children, our loved ones. I think it's okay to talk about the silly things they possibly have did or some of the stuff they may have did that wasn't so smart. I believe in order to move forward, you have to address any and everything. I think one of my hardest things with I think one of my hardest questions when meeting someone or someone asks me, do I have children? And then, you know, the line of questioning, how many children do you have? I have a very hard time with that right now. I think I have not moved forward in that area because I want to say I have 3 children. And then I don't know if I'm the only person who do this, but I mean, that is what happened. You know, when my daughter died at 28, so she's forever 28. And recently someone asked me, they said, oh, how many kids you have? I said, oh, I have 3. And I went in, I'm like, oh, I have a daughter 28, my son is 28, and I have a 13-year-old. So they were like, you have twins? And then, it opened up a whole nother section because at that point I had to say, okay, well, my daughter died last year, and she was 28 when she died, and my son is 28 now. But I'm saying this all to say I'm still learning how to say, I have three, one has died. I'm not sure how to answer that. So you may be experiencing that as well. I don't have an answer for what's the right way to say it, what you shouldn't say, but I will say we had our children. So I do say I have 3 children. You know, moving forward, having to, you know, go and close their accounts, having to, my daughter died in November, like I said. I'm just now closing one of her credit union accounts, and it was the hardest thing to have to walk in the building and walk up to the teller, and everybody is in there, everybody can hear, and I'm trying to talk low, and I'm like, I'm here to close an account, and they're, you know, asking why, and I go into the and I have to say it again, and it's just like reliving the hurt again, because then everybody, you know, the person behind the window is, oh my God, what happened? I'm so sorry. And people don't mean to do that. It's just by nature that when we say our child has passed on, or our child was killed, anytime you say anything about a child dying, that's just automatic, like, oh my God. And then sometimes, and I have to tell people sometimes, like, oh, don't do that. You're gonna make me cry. I'm trying to, you know, stay strong my own self. Oh my God, parents, I think this is this is a hard one for me. You may think I'm crazy, but I'm going to say it. I think the hardest thing for me with this one is when people want me to console them about my child's death, and I'm like, I'm trying to console myself. I'm trying to stand tall. I'm trying to keep from breaking or losing my mind, and you want me to console you. You want me to try to help keep you from losing your mind. I think that is a hard one, and I'm still trying to learn how to move forward because I said earlier it's that selfish mother love we have with our children. So, you know, because I still have people who will text me. They may say something like, I didn't text you back then because I knew it was all crazy, but I want to tell you, or they want to tell me something or tell me a story. And I do not like when they tell me certain stories that she didn't tell me. It's like, okay, if she didn't tell me, you know, leave her story with her. But then at the same time, I want to hear the story. So it's moving forward after the death of our children, moving forward, being strong enough to move forward. Or even when we're not strong, being able to say to someone, I need some help. I'm hurt. I'm broken. I'm this, I'm that. Being able to have that support system that you can truly trust and know that you can call on them and they understand when you just need to call, cry, or when you just need to call and you want to share a story. But I will say, make sure that it is someone that you can truly trust and they will understand what you're going through and not tell you, oh, if I was you, I would do this. If I was you, I would do it this way. That's, we just need a shoulder to cry on. We just need to be told it's going to be okay, that we're going to get through this. And I'm here to tell you that we are going to get through this. We will make it. And we will never, ever forget our children, but our heart will always go out. I think any time that I hear that someone has lost a child, if I'm looking at the news, I think this morning I was looking at the news and they said an 18-year-old was, or a 15-year-old was shot and killed, and my heart like went to those parents like, oh, my God, they're getting that call. They're going through what we're going through. They're going through where we have to go pick our final outfits for our children. We had to go pick out final resting place. We had to figure out, you know, for your child, you know, what would they want at their funeral? What song you want to sing for? You know, what color? We should not have to do that. It is absolutely sad that we have to be in that situation. And mothers, this is another one. We expect everybody to mourn and hurt, grieve, and go through what we're going through when we are conducting business. And some of the people may make you feel that they are just so cold, like they just don't care. But I've come to realize they so much that they may have become numb, and then it hurt our feelings because you want somebody to feel the hurt and the pain and the anguish that you're feeling over your child when we're taking care of final decision, final arrangements for them, and you may get, you know, pushback. Just know, just take a deep breath and remember we're doing what we're doing for our children, that we represent, my daughter used to say that she was her daughter's advocate. We are our children's advocate, especially after they have passed on. We are the people that can tell their story. We that can fight for their cause. We are the people sometimes that have to solve their murder cases. We are the people that may be able to help that next child. So always remember, we are their advocate. For us to be able to move forward, we have to remember that we advocate for them. We speak for them. We're their voice. We speak for our children. Another thing I noticed, and I had to I had to call to get my daughter the autopsy report. And there were so many mistakes, and you know, the people there are so mean. And you want them to understand, you know, how you're feeling. And I'm saying all these things because I'm remembering what I went through. We just have to remember to remain humble, remain calm. That person didn't do it. Because I think we take our hurt out on other people. I know I have. I can admit and say that I have done it. And that's why I'm here with moving forward, recognizing some of the things I did that probably wasn't pleasing, and some of the things that I felt I did that was important for fighting for my daughter's cause. That was important to me. and being able to share and hear the feedback or on how maybe some people who are listening, when I do talk to them, they help me as well when they give me, when they tell me reviews or whatever they got from the show. So I know I'm all over the place this evening. It's just, it's been a rough week. It has been hard. I have been thinking about my daughter all day, I think every day for the last couple of days. It's been so bad. I haven't been able to sleep. When I close my eyes, I start remembering when I got the knock on the door, when I got the call, driving out there. I relive it. But I don't let it hinder me. I'm telling you from experience, it is hard. It's hard. But we can do it. And I'm telling you, you can do it. You just have to trust God. We have to be patient and let grief take its course. Not let it take over us, let it run us, but let it take its course. It's so important to stay focused, because if you don't, it's easy to fall into depression. It is so easy and hard to get back out of it. It's easy to fall into the anxiety. And anxiety will make you feel like you're about to have a heart attack. And we have to, I deal with it. I have to constantly tell myself, calm down, relax, relax. You can't fix certain things. Certain things is out of, it's not for me to fix. It's not for me to worry. It's not for you to worry. Everything will fall into place. You just have to let God do what he has ordained things to be done. It's not in our time. My daughter's killer has not been caught. He is not arrested. He or she, whoever she is, whoever they are not arrested. They are not caught. That is hard as well, to know that the person has taken her life is somewhere with their life just moving forward like nothing has never happened. But it almost took control of me, and I had to release that and give it to God. It's so many things that come with this. And maybe if, you know, I've thought about some people, some of the kids, you know, that may have had cancer or whatever terminal illness, you know, maybe you felt like a doctor didn't do what they could have done to save your child. We do have to remember that certain things are just out of our control. And if we beat ourselves up with the what if, I should have, I could have, they could have, it will wear us. I am so grateful to be able to talk about this. Some parents, they can't talk about it. It's too much to talk about. I think it has helped me tremendously to be able to share my story, to be able to have this platform to discuss different things that come along with grief, or being prepared when we get that call, you know, having life insurance, having whatever cemetery, having a plot already, maybe information that you need on hand, because when we get that call, we fall apart. You don't think, and then you have the regret after the service. I shouldn't have did this. I should have done this. You know, we worry ourselves with that too. I didn't do this right. I didn't do the best. Or we want to show our love and go, I don't know if I should say it, but go overboard. And we have to remember that the service is for the living. It is not for our loved one that has passed on. But, you know, everyone has different beliefs and how they do things. So I don't want to step on anyone's toes, and I don't want anybody to get mad thinking, oh, she said this like this and it. So, but moving forward, overcoming the obstacle that has come and disrupted our lives, going back to work, being able to still work and work like, I guess I can say it like that, work like you did before, being able to still be a productive employee. How do we do that? how do we still go take our surviving children to school? And you always wonder, like, when the kids grow to different age, you know, if your child died and they were elementary school ages, and you see all the other kids going to the next grades and doing certain things, and you realize my child is not there. Sometimes I see young ladies out and they look like my daughter, and I'm like, wow, that could be my baby. You know, still going to work, coming home to raise her daughter, and now her daughter is without a mother. You know, those are things that I commonly concern myself in, try not to overthink certain things. You know, we're parents. It's part of the, it's just part of the grief to wonder what we could have done so we would not be here. You know, what could we have done so this didn't happen? My mind goes back and forth to, if she just would have scooted over a little bit, maybe she wouldn't have got shot. Or, you know, the kids have committed suicide. Like, wow, what was the statement that truly took them over the edge? What was the thing that really made them hurt so bad that they felt that they couldn't be here anymore? You know, those are things that you think about. You think about, like, oh my God, why did they take this drug and this has done this? You know, these are things that we worry about, but know that God has the full answer. God will comfort your heart. God will ease your heart. God will give you the relief that you need. And I want to call tonight in prayer. I want to make sure that that you know that you are loved, that you are cared about, that God has not forgotten about you. He has not turned his back on you. He's not upset with you. He's not mad at you. That's not why our children are gone. He is not mad at us. Father God, I come to you this evening. I just give you thanks. I thank you so much for this opportunity, Lord. I ask you to forgive me of my sins, those known and unknown, Lord. I ask that you touch everyone that's tuned into this show. Touch those that will listen to this show afterwards, Father God. Father God, I ask that you ease the heart of the grieving parents and loved ones, Father God. I ask that you be the strength that they need, Father God. I ask that you just surround them with your love, Father God. Just pour all your love into their spirit to let them know that they can move forward, Father God, that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. Father God, we just thank you for this evening, Father God. We just thank you and we praise your holy name, Father God. Father God, I also ask that you touch Denise from the top of her head to the soles of her feet, Father God. I ask that you give her what she stands in need of, Father God. Father God, I ask that you give her the strength to continue to run MCD Network, Father God. I just thank you and I praise you, Father God. I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. I thank everyone for tuning in tonight. We will not be broadcasting every week. We will go into twice a week. It will give me the opportunity to really, you know, research and study and give you a show that is informative for you, that is properly planned and put into, and give me the opportunity to really tune in with the Lord so I can give you what he gives me. So it will be on the second and fourth Sundays, the second and fourth Tuesdays at 7 p.m., same time, same number. We're just going to go into twice a month. I thank you all for tuning in. And once again, Coach D, thank you so much for this platform. Have a good evening. And thank you for tuning in to Cheek to Cheek.
Amen. We just want to thank everyone for tuning in. And if you tune in on Wednesday nights to Woman to Woman at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time weekly, and also on Thursday nights at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for Processing the Pain. Again, we thank you for tuning in tonight to this episode of Cheek to Cheek, and we look forward to seeing you next week. Have a great evening.